The Feast of the Ascension is the homecoming of Jesus back into heaven. After having been in combat with the evil one and with our mortality and with our sins and with all of the fallen things of this world, after the resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven and was welcomed home. And if you can imagine, and we just have to imagine because we weren't there, Jesus being welcomed back by the Father, being welcomed back by the heavenly hosts, being welcomed home after everything that he did and all that he went through in his time on earth in the flesh, that would have had to have been a pretty amazing homecoming. And today that's what we celebrate, like a warrior coming home, victorious from a very long battle, Jesus coming home. At Christmas, we celebrate God on earth. And at the Ascension, we celebrate man in heaven. That now, at the center of the Trinity, a human heart is beating. Even now, like right now, a human heart beats at the center of the Trinity to intercede for us. At the center of heaven is a human being. I mean, fully God, fully man, is Jesus Christ. This mystery is important to us, not only because it is the conclusion of the Paschal mystery, but because, as such, it points to our destination. That we who follow Jesus in his passion and who take up our cross daily, we deny ourselves and we follow him. We who follow him will, in this life, will follow him in the resurrection and in his ascension into heaven. To say that he's opened the gates of heaven means he's the first man into heaven, but we will all follow him. And that's really good news. And that is ultimately the destination. That's the goal toward which we are all striving. And so we think of this day as not only what Jesus has done, but also where we're called to follow. That where the shepherd has gone before, the sheep are called to follow. And we will, if we follow him, if we're faithful to him, we will. Now, we're going to imitate Jesus in many ways, and that doesn't mean that we do exactly what he does, or what he did exactly. We're not going to die for the sins of the world in such a way as to, by your death on a cross, to wipe away the sins of the world and be the savior of the human race. You don't have that pressure. I don't have that pressure. And yet, what does Jesus say to us about the cross? What he has first done for us, the free gift of salvation through his cross. He also says to us, love one another as I have loved you. And we see how he loved us. He gave himself up for us. And he says, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. A disciple, someone who follows, you know, we want to follow Jesus because we want, especially in the Ascension, today above all days, we want to be following Jesus. And we're called to follow him. And as he did battle, we're called in a lesser way, but in a very significant way to imitate him. Jesus did battle against our human frailty. When he took on human frailty, he became a man, he became a human being so that he could experience, so that he could offer his body as an offering. He could experience death. He experienced illness. And he did battle with our frailty. When he was born in a manger, I always like to think that maybe he had allergies. He probably wasn't gluten intolerant, but he would have gotten the flu. And he would have had to, you know, experience learning and growing because he accepted human limitations, though fully divine, fully God. He accepted human limitations. He experienced those. And as Scripture says, like us in all things except sin. He did battle with our frailty when he went out and he healed people. During his public ministry, he healed people of illnesses. He did battle with Satan when he drove out demons and expelled demons from out of people and places. And that would have been, I think, rather horrible. Now, God doesn't have a problem confronting Satan, but Jesus is also fully human, and so it could be a troubling experience to have to do battle with evil spirits, at least on a human level. I don't think that that was a very pleasant thing. And if you've ever been in the presence of an evil spirit, you can probably relate to that. It's not where you want to be. But Jesus confronted the evil one and cast him out of people. He did battle with our pride by humbling himself and washing the feet of others, by not returning an accusation when he was falsely accused. He did battle with our unforgiveness when on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." He did battle with our hatred and indifference in the way that he loved people, in the way that he protected, did battle against our cowardice by protecting the woman who was caught in adultery, protecting her from being stoned. And he said to her, "Go and sin no more," doing battle against our apathy to not want to change our lives and repent when we need to. He did battle against our ignorance and our confusion when he preached the truth. In his humble and loving service in many, many ways, which we read about in Scripture, he did battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And he did that for us, so that we could follow him. Finally, on the cross, he did battle with the evil one and with death itself, paying for all of our sins. And having conquered death and rising from the grave, he made a way for us to follow him into heaven. And so we too are called in this life to do battle. Spiritual warfare is a constant thread throughout sacred scripture. It's blatantly obvious just by human experience as well. And we don't do battle in such a way as to avoid enjoying life. Embracing this sense in which we're called warriors and soldiers, and I'm using the words of Scripture there, embracing those words doesn't mean that we don't enjoy Sunday and take a day of rest. In fact, we're commanded to take a day of rest. Why? Because even Jesus did this. He accepted human limitations to take a day of rest more than some of us do. I'm gonna let that hang there for just a minute. He did. I'm not saying more than all of us do, but more than some of us do. On the seventh day, God rested. There's a Sabbath day. He commanded us to do that. He's commanded us to do that because we think that we can do battle 24/7, or we get in this mindset. We cannot. That doesn't work that way. We're not made that way. And so we rejoice in what God has done for us, and we trust him to provide for us, and we take that day of rest, which is today, to worship him and to rest from our labors, to enjoy the good gifts that he's given us, and maybe go fishing. Especially this time of year, this part of the state. But we don't get caught up in civilian pursuits as though that's the point of life. Again, I'm using the words of St. Paul. That's in the words of Scripture. Civilian pursuits. That's like what civilians can do. And they get to run off and spend their life in a different way. But we who are soldiers for Christ and warriors who are imitating the shepherd, we are also called to do battle against our indifference by the way we love one another, unforgiveness by forgiving. We're called to do battle in the way that we protect one another, in the way that we speak the truth, and the way that we live the truth. And yes, in the way that we lay down our lives, maybe not actually on a cross, although that still does happen to Christians in this day and age. Probably that won't happen to us, but we're called to lay down our lives. Jesus says, if you would follow me, if you want to follow me into heaven, follow me to the cross. We're given a mission. He's given us a mission. At the ascension, he says, go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. He says, make disciples. There are many ways that we do this, but it's one mission. And we have the ability to do that through the Holy Spirit. And he's called us to live this life in such a way that we will bring other people with us to heaven. That's what it means to make disciples and preach the gospel. People should know it through our actions before they hear it in our words, but it should come out through both. And if Jesus, through his battle and through his offering of himself, we are able, many are able to follow him into heaven. And really, that's what all the angels and saints and the Father is rejoicing over. It's not just that Jesus has returned, but rather that many will follow him. So for you and me, we should live our lives in this life in such a way as to hear Jesus say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. There will be many people following you here because of the way that you lived your life. Today at the Ascension, above all, we are called to live our lives for that moment when we arrive home. For that moment when we see him face to face. For that moment when we are welcomed by that heavenly host, by the Father, the Holy Spirit, and see Jesus, that's what we're to be living for. So live in such a way as to bring many people with you into heaven.